Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and we begin today with the deadliest wildfire in California's history. The Camp Fire is burning in the northeastern part of the state and has destroyed more than 10,000 structures. More than 50 people are dead, and for thousands of others, they've left behind everything to escape.
I got a phone call around 7:30 telling me that my kid's school was being evacuated in Upper Medalia, so I immediately left work, went to head up the hill, and you could just see the cloud of black smoke engulfing the whole bridge.
It was a mad scramble to get off the mountain as fast as possible. People going down the wrong ways on streets, seeing fire and, you know, all around you. And at one point, we literally had to drive through the wall of flames just to get out.
Mariah Williams and Michael Bridges lost both of their homes in Megalia. In nearby Paradise, Jessica Shelton and Margaret Yamas have experienced similar devastation.
Five of my aunts and uncles and my mom lived in Paradise, and all of their kids. So there's like 40 of us from Paradise, and we've all lost our houses.
It looked like Armageddon. It was 9:30 in the morning, and it looked like 3 in the morning. That's how dark it was there. You couldn't even see. It was so dark. Our house completely is demolished, and my family and friends' homes are all demolished.
The four survivors told us their stories of trying to escape.
Some people had to leave their cars, and their tires were melting. My sister went over the fire trying to get out, and in her car.
You know, my kids are safe. My son, my youngest son, was missing for like 14 hours. My older son, their car ran out of gas, and all the gas stations were closed, and they ended up walking, and somebody picked them up.
We were freaking out down in Chico. At that point, it was still very much, it was my daughter and my best friend and I, and we still didn't know who got out, who didn't got out. We couldn't find her son. We couldn't find my mom and dad and the kids, even though I know my parents know those roads. It still was nerve-wracking.
So our first thing was to get, you know, clothes for our children, supplies, you know, toothbrushes, soap, shoes, just the little things that you don't think about. And when you don't have them, the things you need.
And for those lucky enough to escape, it's been a challenge to figure out what to do next.
We have so many friends that have nowhere. They're staying in shelters or, you know, there's people in parking lots.
There's friends staying at parking lots and in tents and just have nowhere to go. They had no family, and it's just, I feel so sad for them. It's just a nightmare, and it's still a nightmare for everybody.
We have been here since Thursday night. We're at the Super 8 in Redding.
I met up with all of my family before they all kind of scattered because there's not enough accommodations in Chico for everybody. Even in Redding, I got one of the last rooms in Redding last night. So from Redding to Grass Valley, there's no rooms, which is a huge distance.
But a constant theme we heard from all of the victims of the fire were the ways in which the community has rallied together.
It's just people from all over are coming and donating. Here in Gilroy, my daughter-in-law's sister posted something about it and about how my husband and I and my sister ended up here in Gilroy, my son's. People started asking her, what's our address? For the last 3 days, we have been getting clothing, food, supplies, everything. There's one lady that wants me to call her because she wants to bring over on Thanksgiving a whole entire dinner for us. And it's just people even here, far away from the fire, are just coming together and helping, asking us anything we need, they're there. And it's just like, I've never seen anything like that, never.
We went to the Elks Lodge yesterday, and there's a huge line of people and a field that, oh my gosh, it's probably almost as big as a football field, and with tables with signs of sizes for kids and sizes for adults and shoes and toys and stuffed animals all organized and clothes and toiletries, and they were giving away gas cards.
It's very humbling just to see how everyone pulls together, especially at this time of year. You know, there seems like a divide of where you stand politically. Then with something like this, all that just washes away. It's really amazing to see everyone put aside their differences and just see everyone as human beings. And everyone has just been so helpful. Even some of the big companies, you know, whether it's a free cup of coffee or food trucks, small businesses, people that can't afford things themselves are out there giving free food out of their food trucks 24/7. And everyone's just pulling together. It's been very humbling. It's nice to see that it still exists.
And now the question for all of the victims, how to recover when you've lost everything.
A lot of people were telling us they're never going back to paradise. I know I don't. My husband wants to go up to see if maybe he could find my wedding rings. We lost my wedding ring. We lost a lot. Pictures, all our birth certificates, wedding certificate, everything. You name it, we lost it all. There's nothing there.
It takes a piece of you. There's all of our memories. My wife's wedding dress that we wanted to give to our daughter. Everything. We only have the clothes we went to work in that day. That's it.
You know, it's all of the heirlooms. My brother died when I was 14, and mementos from him, and pictures of him.
Right now, it's just one day at a time, trying to just get the basic survival needs and making sure the others have what they need. And at the same time, you know, there's responsibilities that have to be done, and it's just kind of, once we start doing that, it gets very emotional of planning. And right now, our major concern is just our children. But yeah, I mean, soon we're going to have to sit down and start adulting, I guess you would say. Put the list together, find out where we're going to live. We need to get permanent housing set up here shortly.
It's like we're all in a state of shock. All of us, we're totally all in a state of shock. And we're going to apply for FEMA right now because the home we lived in, it was ours basically because my son bought it for us. And she said, Mom, do not worry. I'm taking care of everything with the insurance. Everything is going to be okay. So we just have to trust in that.
My mom and dad and I have had a conversation about, well, if we don't have a house at this point in time, we could just pick up and go. I'm an only child, so it's just my mom and dad and me and my kids and the dog. And yes, I have 400 million friends and family and people that I love, but we're kind of at the point that we might have to pick up and just go somewhere and start over.
There's a lot of people that don't have the support group that we have. And send gift cards, go to a GoFundMe page, find someone that's been affected and donate. There's a lot of needy families that have been misplaced and don't have homes and places to stay. So yeah, that's tough. We're not sure. It's something you never go through, so you know we're learning. What are the steps to do? And it's just kind of stumbling through it.
The stories of survival from Michael Bridges, Margaret Yamas, Mariah Williams, and Jessica Shelton, four residents of California who've lost everything in the state's worst wildfire.